Excellent, if I can have your attention. Start by 30, so I'm going to leave the show open. I'd like to commence our meeting by acknowledging the Wurundjeri people who are the traditional custodians of this land. I pay respect to elders, both past and present, and extend that respect to any Aboriginal people present. Thank you. Could I also remind everyone present that this meeting is being webcast, so those in attendance should refrain from making any defamatory statement. Could I also ask that if you have your mobile phone with you, that you switch it to silent, please? And can I say how lovely it is to come out to you and Guy, and before we get into the formalities of the meeting, I really have to thank, and I believe Sandy's the main person, probably... Now I feel extra bad because the catering was delicious, especially for some of us who had second and thirds and fourths. But anyway, so I feel really bad. Sam's out there washing up now because we have a few senior male staff that probably should be out there helping. And can I also say thank you to the committee for getting the hall ready and setting it up, and how wonderful it is to see so many people turn up to a council meeting. I hope it's because there's an interesting item on the agenda and not because there's nothing on telly tonight, but I'm sure that there's plenty of things that you and the other people occupied, so it's lovely to see so many people here, so welcome. And on that note, we'll get on with the formality of our meeting. And first of all, I'll say for apologies. Are there any? None? We have no apologies tonight. Are there any? No. Do we have Pastor Hodges here? Welcome, Pastor. Pastor Marshall Hodges is from the Action Church and is here on behalf of the Nambucca Ministers Association to lead counseling through. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Madam Mayor, councillors and senior staff. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for the councillors and the staff and for all assembled here today. I thank you for their heart for this community and for this valley. I thank you that all the discussions will come from that heart and come from a place of peace and a place of wisdom. As you say in James 3:17, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of wisdom and good fruit, impartial and sincere. And I pray for the release of that wisdom and peace here in this afternoon in their good discussions. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Do we have any disclosures of interest? None. Councillors, will go to the confirmation of minutes from the ordinary meeting of the 28th of September. Moved Councillor Wilson, seconded Councillor Trevor Ballengarry. Are there any corrections to the minutes? None. Those in favour? Against? It's carried. We now go to your notices of motion. The first is on page 18 of the business paper, item 5.1. Councillor Wilson, are you formally moving that? Thank you. We have seconded Councillor Buchanan. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. We have a second notice of motion on page 19, item 5.2. Councillor Trevor Ballengarry, are you formally moving that? Moved Councillor Trevor Ballengarry, seconded Councillor Martin Ballengarry. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. We now go to our public forum and delegations, and we have a number of speakers tonight, and the first is Ms. Karina Daniels, who'd like to provide a welcome on behalf of the Yungay Soldiers Memorial Board Committee of Management. So, Karina, would you like to come forward and
thank you very And what a huge turnout. Thank you all for coming out to Yilgarn and to the council meeting. It's amazing to see people active in local business. I want to say my name's Freddie Daniels. I'm the secretary for the hall. And it doesn't seem that long ago that we last had a hall meeting here, and the current committee of management had just taken over management of the hall. I don't know if anybody here has been up to events at the hall recently, but we are coming out through COVID and bushfires. Are very proud of some of the activities that we have here. The hall has an ethos of sustainability and community development, and a lot of the activities that we do here are along those lines. Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Karina, and again, thank you to all the committee, because without volunteers on committees of management, like the people who volunteer to help look after this hall and organise events, the community would just not have this facility, because, you know, the cost of trying to, I think we have something like 21 rural halls. If ratepayers have to pay staff to do all the things that the volunteers do, you either wouldn't have the hall or you would be paying significantly more in rates. So thank you very much to those who volunteer their time, because it's, I'm sure the broader community, or the Yilgarn community, also appreciate those volunteers. Our next speaker is, and I hope I pronounced this correctly, Ms. Benita Hsu. Have I pronounced the name correctly?
Yeah.
Thank you, Benita. Benita would like to address council in relation to intensive farming practices in the Yilgarn area.
We don't need to have to hold on the chair if I have to hold a microphone and my papers. Is that all right? I feel more comfortable on a chair if I have to hold a microphone and the papers. Okay. Much sure where. Thank you. Is that too close to the
I think it should be your eyes.
So is there a little thing?
If you can start, but I am required to keep an eye on the time. Yes,
yeah.
I will let you know when your 5 minutes is expired.
Yeah. Okay, good afternoon. Good afternoon, Madame Major and councillors. And good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, neighbours and friends. I'm a bit nervous, but it's Yilgarn. first of all, I want to thank Mr. Beats Bannigal, the Director of Engineering Services, and Daniel Walsh, Manager of Development and Environment, for giving us their time this morning, and also Councillor Ms. Susan Jamley. My name is Benita Hsu, and I'm talking on behalf of concerned residents of the Yilgarn area. Maybe I should get up. No, I sit down. So it's funny to have my back to you. As we all know, the landscapes of the Nyambaka Valley have dramatically changed in the last few years, with intensive farming practices visible. For example, you know, Upper Warrell Creek, Newey Creek, Barrowville, Yarrumbella, Taylor's Arm, and now in our area. Intensive farming, according to the Cambridge Dictionary, is defined as a way of producing large amounts of crops by using chemicals and machines. According to studies done in America and UK, blueberries are amongst the topmost 12 of chemically treated crops. So high use in the first 12. In 2018, studies done by the Southern Cross University found chemical runoff from blueberry farms had significantly contaminated Coffs Harbour waterways and Kearns Lake. A quote from the report: many coastal catchment in these regions are occupied by blueberry farms that drain to the Solitary Islands Marine Park. However, the influence of intensive horticulture on regional water quality remains poorly understood. As a result, the Southern Cross University was engaged by Coffs Harbour Council, City Council, to perform water quality investigations in Double Crossing Creek, a tributary of the Hearns Lake. The Guardian reports in September 2022 that scientists warn about fertilizers and chemicals ending up in lakes and the sea and threatening our North Coast's other major industries, which are fishing and prawn trawling. Where are we up to? So please find links to all these studies over there on the table, or talk to some of us later of the group that we have formed in the group. Everybody welcome. In 2020, the Sydney Morning Herald reported in Coffs Harbour, the Natural Resources Access Regulator found 28 out of 31 blueberry farms allegedly non-compliant with water laws. Many more breaches to regulations have been reported. The people I've been in the group with and people I talk to, we are very concerned. We are very concerned about the overuse of chemicals which end up in our air, which ends up in our drinking water, potentially settling on lawns and gardens, clothes, pools, and finally into our precious water system. We are very concerned about spray drift affecting the health of everyone close to the farms, including Yungar schools. We are very concerned about reports which have been made about farmers illegally pumping water out of creeks. We are aware of and concerned about the lack of monitoring and policing by relevant agencies and departments, and that's a big one. For example, policing the code of practice which was put in place by the Australian Blueberry Growers Association, published in 2018 on recommendations of the Southern Cross University. That we are concerned, where's the policing? Is it happening? We are concerned about the lack of policing regulations relating to the Department of Primary Industries, to the Environmental Protection Board, and Department of Natural Resources Access Regulators. Big words. Many people I talk to have contacted these departments and have been told that there's no capacity to follow up on the complaints made. The complaints have to be recorded though. I just want to say, before I come to the end, that I just talked to a couple of people, and one person mentioned that at Caspies Road, a dam has been built, dug, which is dug into the creek with a name. I don't know, is that illegal or not? I don't know.
It's illegal.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt you. I need to make very clear, the only people who can speak from the public are those who are those who have registered to speak, and I would ask that you listen to them and remain quiet so that everyone can hear them speak. If anyone else wants to make a further comment, book for the next council meeting as a speaker, the same as this lady has, and the other speakers have.
So no comments can be made after my talk.
Discussion
I wasn't aware of that.
It's not an open forum. It is an opportunity for you to address the council. It's not a public meeting about who there is. But it's an opportunity for I have to abide under legislation by the code of meeting practice. If I don't, I'm personally in breach of that and in breach of the Act, the Code of Conduct and the Code of Meeting Practice,
yes.
And I'm personally liable for that. So
okay.
There is a very good reason for these rules and regulations. As I said, anyone can address council and raise an issue that they want to bring to council's attention. But there's a proper process. This lady has gone through that process, so have several other speakers. If anyone else wants to address council, you can do that at the next council meeting by ringing up and booking the same as these people have.
Okay.
Sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah, that's fine.
And you
I'm
had
nearly
actually,
done.
You, I was just going to say,
yeah,
if you're nearly
done.
Really finished, you have exceeded.
Okay, so, yeah, because of that. Just that, interlude?
No, you've got...
Okay, I was just lying. So I ask you to...
Prior to the interlude,
yeah.
Just gone.
So I ask you to...
Carried, that's the proper process. Thank you. We have another 5 minutes.
Yep, I won't use them all up.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, now I'm actually relaxing. I'm starting to relax. Another issue was brought to my attention since prior about our groundwater resources, so that would be another interesting fact to find out what our groundwater resources are. I want to end with saying that I ask you, of you, to think about what we can do as a community to prevent damage to our health and damage to our environment. And I ask of our council to support our pleas and to comply with the values of Nambucca Valley's strategic planning. Quote, our community will be a safe, healthy place to live where everyone is valued. And another quote, development in the Nambucca Valley will protect the environment and enhance the social and economic well-being of its people. Thank you. Oh, I'm sorry.
It helps trying to chair a meeting. Thank you. And do any councillors have any questions for the speaker? Are there any questions? None? Thank you.
Yes.
You have a question?
No, I'd like to move the report.
You move your motion?
Yep.
For a report? Okay.
Okay.
You have a wording,
please? Yeah, I do have some wording. I sent it to...
Sorry, it's just I've got a screen, so I can't see it.
Wait a second.
So I'm assuming that should be the council receive a report?
Yes.
Because the council won't be doing the report, the staff will. Is that what you're looking for?
Yes.
Okay. So, can you take amend that? The council will receive the report. So, the wording is exactly as I've just been given.
No, I'd like to just remove the fourth line. Could the LEB amendments be a regional
level?
Sorry,
you want to remove the
fourth
line?
That line,
yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so that's already been removed on this piece of paper. So,
The last three dot points, Councillor Dundee, are they questions for the notice? Or is that...
They're questions for the report to address.
Okay, so... The council received the report. And the report also addresses the following... Okay, that's quite clear. Seconded, Councillor Jones. Okay, it's open for discussion. Councillor Dundee.
There are lots of concerns in the community about intensive horticulture and its practices. I think they're legitimate concerns. I was there this morning when the group met with Mr. Spanigal and Mr. Walsh, and one thing that was talked about, there's a lot of regulatory bodies that need to do their work.
Councillor Jamie,
no, I am speaking to it.
You've got to speak to the motion that we get a report,
yes.
Not to.
Okay, thank you.
Just let us speak.
I'm sorry, but I have to follow the code of meeting practice, and Councillor Jamie is well aware.
The only person who cares about that. None of us care about that. We just want to hear from us speak.
You keep bugging in.
Well, that is my job as the chair to control this meeting and. And ensure that everybody gets an opportunity now. Councillor Jenby is moving a call for a report. Now let me explain to you the proper process. When that report comes to council, it'll be a detailed report that will go out in the public arena as well, in the business paper. That is the time for discussion and debate, and it's a time as well that all of you get to read what's in the report. And then come if you see fit and address council or make comment or talk to councillors prior to the meeting when potentially they could be making a decision on whatever's in the report. That is the proper process. The proper process is not to have a debate now about what might be in a report. Does that make sense? Okay, so the opportunity will be there. This is a public forum. It is not an item on the agenda. When it goes on the agenda as an item about the blueberry industry or debate and discussion, that has to be publicly out there for everyone in this community, not just local people in the Yungay area, because there may be, like I live at Newy Creek, right on top of a blueberry farm. It's right next door to me. So there are lots of other people in this community that may have an opinion or a view, and they are also entitled. That's the time for the discussion and the debate, and they should be given the opportunity to have input and talk to their councillors or book to come and address council. Under the code of meeting practice, at a public forum, the council cannot make a resolution for any action other than to call for a report, which is exactly what Councillor Jenby is doing. But the motion that's on the floor is simply for a report. So councillors get the opportunity to speak either for or against receiving the report. It's not an opportunity to discuss what might be in the report or the things that she's asked for to be considered. That opportunity, though, will be at whatever council meeting this report comes back to. When that report in detail comes back to council, as an agenda item and as a full report that is publicly available for you to all see, that's when the council will discuss it, debate it, and you have at least a week when the business plan is published to contact your councillors or email them and make your comment for, against, or in favour of, or anything you want to add that you don't think the report perhaps considered. That's your opportunity, but everyone in this community gets that same opportunity, not just those people here tonight. Now, Councillor Jenby, I understand you're giving your reasons for calling for the report. I think you've given those, and I think it's, I think it's very clear. I think it's very clear from our speaker's address, and I'm gathering she's speaking on behalf of a group that have already spoken to our staff, that there is considerable concern about this particular industry. You're calling for a report on it.
If I could add a comment to that, this is an area where council can have some effect. It's in its jurisdiction, so that's why I called for a report. It was a broad range of discussion this morning on a number of things, but this is one area where council has jurisdiction. So hopefully councillors, other councillors will back this calling for a report.
And hence the wording of the report to see what the options are in terms of going the amendments. And I'm sure that once the staff, who are the experts in that area, report back, then councillors will consider it. So we've got a mover and a seconder. You can, but again, only on calling for the report. We're not going to have a debate tonight about the LEP amendment or the industry.
The reason I'm seconding calling for a report is, as outlined, is the process involved. One of the things I particularly think are important reading this report is the line about what learnings we've gained from the previous attempt of council to increase the regulatory and the planning situation. To put that in context, in the previous council, that Councillor Jenkin and I are on, and Councillor Ballengarry, we all worked together to try and have planning applications, development applications around this industry. It's very complex, so I'm not going to get into the detail. What we discovered was it might be there are avenues for regulation, be it around the structure of the nets, be it around setback. Anyway, the previous council didn't progress successfully across the whole shire. So I think it's really important that we ask the staff, what did we learn from that? What can we play? What role can we play? Because whatever role we play, that would then trigger all of these other agencies. And I think, as the Mayor said, I can't really go into that much detail, but we all know that the other agencies are not playing their role successfully. So what we can trigger as a council would be, and that's what the report will be about, what can we trigger that brings these other players in, that gets greater eyes on the game? Because when we did this 4 or 5 years ago, there was only a handful, and they were sort of, but now what we've seen is an explosion. I drive around the community transport all the time, Lower Buck and Bindini, all over the place, all up the arm.
Councillor Jones, I think you're getting beyond the notion that's on the floor. Can I just say, I do understand the passion, and I must apologise to those people. I've had a few phone calls today. Someone has apparently put on social media that the blueberry industry was on the agenda tonight for discussion and debate. Or that's how people... Well, I'm sorry, it's not. All it's on was someone booked as a public forum to talk about it.
Will be next time.
Well, that's exactly what the report is. That's, and again, this is what I'm saying, that's a prep. And when it does come, I have to advise you that I will not be able to participate because I will be deemed to have a significant conflict of interest because I have a massive blueberry farm next door that impacts on my amenity. Therefore, under the Act, I'm deemed to be a person who would have a particular bias towards the industry. Therefore, I not only cannot vote, and if you... For those of you who actually looked at the agenda for the council meeting tonight, if you look at the first few pages and read what councillors' obligations are, if they have a financial interest or a conflict of interest, a bias, whether it's for something or against something, it is actually a legal requirement we can't participate.
So, correct me.
I'm sorry, sir, I've told you all, I cannot...
Is that right?
I cannot... take comment from you. I'm simply explaining. No, I can't because you're in the public gallery and I won't tell you.
Enough explaining. Let's just move on.
I'm simply telling you what the legal requirements under legislation are. I didn't say I like them. I'd love to have comment on the industry and put my two bob's worth in, but I won't be able to. That's just the way it is. But, you know, for us to do anything as a council, we have to do it properly and follow the proper process, which is what Councillor Jenby has just called for. That's what she's trying to do, allow the process to happen. And as I said, that report has to be publicly available to everyone with an interest, not just the people here tonight, because the rest of the Shire don't know that that is going to be considered and discussed, and they're entitled to know. It's as simple as that. There are good reasons for those rules. Now, we have a motion on the floor. We have,
It's been spoken to. Is there any other discussion in relation to for or against receiving the report? If not, I'm going to put it. Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Right. Our next speaker is it Jamie? Is Jamie next? Oh, sorry. Mr. Davis is here. Our next speaker that's listed on the agenda has been called away and is not attending. So, and I hope I can pronounce this. Is it Virgil?
Yeah.
Is that how you pronounce it?
You
tell me, sir.
Virgil.
I was going to say that, and I thought that would be wrong. Would you like to come forward? And Birgit would also like to address Council regarding farming practices in the blueberry and macadamia industries and the condition of condition of roads, it's called spraying of road sides. Thank you.
Good evening, Madam Mayor and Councillors. Thank you for allowing me this time to address the meeting. My name is Birgit Bonfarel. Over the last 20 years, the road sides of South Bank Road and Kestrel Road were neglected. By now, piles of flammable material have grown to such an extent that it is impossible to keep the road sides safe, especially after the council poisoned the roadside vegetation. My question is, what will the council do to improve and maintain the roadside as outlined in the roadside vegetation management policy? The condition of South Bank Road and Caspi Shores has worsened over this year due to more traffic and heavy vehicles. When will the council improve and maintain the school bus route to an acceptable condition? Alongside Caspi's Road, some 60 greenhouses with metal framing structures and reflecting silver or bright white foil roof material have been built over half a year. Each greenhouse is approximately 50 meter long by 8 meter wide and 4 meter high. A total covered area is some 2.4 hectares. Did the council issue a development approval for these farm buildings that have changed our environment? Will the council further approve or disapprove the expansion of more monoculture farms along South Bank Road, Caspi's Road, and now Jones's Road?
And James's Road.
Right.
Yes.
Jones's?
Yes.
Yes, it's center.
Sorry, you went up on James.
As water is scarce in our area, the creeks are dry. I would like to know where the blueberry farm gets the water from, as their dam is empty. Do they have a water license to access the creek or bore? How much water are they allowed to take from the creek or bore? Thank you.
Thank you, Bruce. Sorry, I just wanted to check, do any councillors have any questions for the speaker? Question?
Yes.
For the speaker?
Just a quick question, Bridget. With the greenhouses, do you know what they're growing?
Zucchini.
Hot.
Sorry. One person at a time.
With blueberries. They have the white metal framing on the, from here, right side of this road. On the other side, that's big black netting, and they've planted blueberries. The dam where the white metal frame is, or the white cover, the dam is nearly empty. It has been there forever. The other big dam It's completely empty.
That's the one they dug in the creek.
Again, I can't take comment from anyone other than Stephen.
That creek, that dam is new and was filled in the creek and is never filled. So even now, all the plants look pretty green. So I wonder how this is possible when everything is dying rocks.
On the matter of water license and so forth, I'm sure you've done your homework.
No,
council doesn't have the authority. We don't issue water licenses. Some of you may live on rural
property. Is
property.
Council interested?
I'm sorry, but I've already told you. Some of you may live on rural properties, and as I said, I'm the person who does. You have to apply for a water license. It's volumetric. You should have a meter and be recording how many meters that you're pumping. So the New South Wales Office of Water should be able to tell you. They should be able to tell you whether there's a, not only if there is a license, what the volumetric license is. And they and NRA have the compliance over water licensing and water extraction, not the council. However, there were some of your questions, or most of your questions, that I believe the staff have noted down. I don't think they're going to be able to answer those right now, but I'll take them on notice. Do we have contact details for you to be able to respond? And I just want to check the minute taker has captured those questions.
It's part of it, I'll pick up off the
audio recording. Yeah. Yes.
Can I say something else? Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And the questions, there's a variety of different areas of staff that will need to respond, but hopefully we'll get them all from the audio recording. But the staff will also advise you, the staff will also advise you of those questions that are not council matters, but I'm quite sure that Mr. Walsh will probably be able to give you direct contact details of the agencies that should be able to help you with some of those questions. But those matters that are council matters, our staff will respond to you if you've provided contact details. So thank you. And that's our last speaker, I believe. Yes. Thank you. So there are no questions with notice. So councillors, we'll go to page 20, item 9.1. Moved by Councillor Angel, seconded by Councillor Martin Darlingberry. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? Carried. Page 31, item 9.2. Moved by Councillor Wilson, seconded by Councillor Buchanan. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. It's no late report, so page 32, item 10.1. Moved Councillor Vance, seconded Councillor Jenny. It's open for discussion. Councillors, if I may, I'd like to ask through the General Manager for whether Mr. Webb could provide a little more. We might just wait. Documents that we submit each year.
And these are actually an indication of the council's financial performance on behalf of our ratepayers, and what we use is not only our ratepayers' money but public money. I'd like to, through the general manager, ask Mr. Greg, our chief financial officer, just to give us a very brief overview of this result, because for those of you that have read the attachments, it's all just, dare I say, accountancy terminology, but some of the benchmarks were quite possible to me. And before I do, I did speak to Mr. Webb this morning because there were a couple of things that I didn't understand in those financial statements that I wanted to ask about. And councillors will recall we requested a workshop on rates. So Mr. Webb and Mr. Sykes have agreed to give us an overview of the financial statements and how they're laid out and how to interpret them when we do that rates workshop. But I'll ask Mr. Webb to just...
Thanks, Madam Mayor, very much. It's been a really good result for council this year. The profit for this year is sitting at $16.8 million. Before capital grants, we're sitting at private capital grants, we're sitting at a result of $2.3 million, which is an increase of just over $3.2 million from previous years. As far as our property plant equipment, we've increased our property plant equipment by about $46 million. Which is due to the fact that we've had additional assets of renewals and new assets of $15.8 million and indexation and revaluation of $43 million. Our ratios this year are very strong. They've increased from previous years. Our operating performance ratio has gone from 0.74% to 5.88%, and our unrestricted ratio has gone from 1.98 to 5.89. I'm not expecting people to understand that, just hard and such. When we have the workshop, we'll go through those figures and understand what they are. But overall, it's a positive result. We've had the audit officer had the ARIC meeting yesterday and endorsed the financial statement. So, all in all, a good result and closing for council.
Thank you, Mr. Webb, and on behalf of the councillors, I'm sure they'll all agree, can I thank the staff, because I know that you have some staff shortages during the statutory time limits on preparing these financial statements. So I know that some of the staff work some very long hours and are hard to get this done. So if there's no further any questions, Councillor Jones.
Through to the acting general manager to Mr. Webb, please. Just on the decrease in employee leave benefits, so leave entitlements, I thought that stuff went up rather than increases. Is that because of staff changes or changes in the actual
There was an error in the calculation of the initiative, so there were some employees that were duplicated at the start of it, and when we did the audit, we realised that there was a duplicate employee. So hence, it's an overall increase, but the overall increase from the previous year, but the increase since the audit's been happening.
Great. Well,
that's
a nice thing to find, but yes.
Councillor Angel.
I'm going to go through the general manager to Mr. Webb. The pre-grant profit comes to pre-serial 2.3, I think you said, and that will happen with that. That growth for that little part, where did we get that from? How did that little bit of growth on pre-grant profit come from?
When the capital grants.
Yeah, pre-capital grants, sorry.
So there's been an increase in revenue and
microphone.
Can you just give me a couple of seconds and I'll just have a look at
that? Yeah.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Just in case that wasn't captured, given that it was a very specific question, Mr. Webb's going to take that on notice. So we will get a response, thank you. If there's any other discussion, no? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Page 34, item 10.2.
I'll move that
in. Move Councillor Jones. Seconded Councillor Trefagaggio. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Just that we're required to capture on audio, and I'm not sure whether. Ah, well, there you go. While that's happening, Mr. Webb can answer your question, Mr. Angel.
It's simply the fact that we just had an increase in operating grants. Just a major increase in operating grants, which is the bottom line. Yep.
Thank you. Thank you, Tara. We can't shut all the doors to just for an open meeting, but that might help with the recording. Okay, we've dealt with that. We have a motion on the floor, didn't we, for the revised privacy management plan? Oh, okay. Yes, sorry. So we did vote on Concord 2. 10.3, do you have a mover and a seconder?
I'll
move that. Moved Councillor Jones, seconded Councillor Jendy. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Page 38, item 10.4. Moved Councillor Angel, seconded Councillor Vance. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? Carried. Page 40, item 10.5. Moved Councillor Angel. Seconded Councillor Martin Ballinger. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? Carried. No late reports from corporate services, so page 42, item 1.1. Moved Councillor Buchanan. Seconded Councillor Jambi. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? Carried. Page 45, item 11.2. Moved Councillor Angel. Seconded Councillor Buchanan. Any discussion? I just have a question from the Acting General Manager to Mr. Walsh. I just wanted to ask the shed toilets are on the hub land. And the RV sites, are they going to be on the hub land?
The RV sites.
Okay, so it won't be a case of approving toilets that are going to be used by RV people, but then it's going to be an expectation that council maintain and clean the toilets. It'll all be managed through the hub. Okay. No, that was just the only question. I'm looking at the attachments and just wasn't 100% sure whether it was actually within their land, within one. Have the ratepayers looking after it in the future, thank you. Okay, this is no other questions or discussion. I'm going to put it, and this is the planning matter, so those in favour, please stand. And just for those in the public gallery, because it's a planning matter, we have what's called a division, and councillors for stand, then councillors against, and the names of who voted for and who voted against are actually recorded in the minutes. That one is required under legislation. This council also does it for tenders for large contracts. That one's not a requirement of legislation, but one that we need for transparency. Okay, so thank you. And page 59, item 4.1. Townsend and Traffic Committee. We have a mover. Move Councillor Jones, seconded Councillor Jamie. Any discussion? Then I had a couple of questions on this one. The first recommendation, so it doesn't actually say so, but it's the trial for 12 months. Because it says a further extension of the trial will be considered in 12 months, so do we assume that means that the current trial will be 12 months?
Yep.
If I could...
Through the general manager, yes, it's a 12-month trial period. The police were concerned that there will be no compliance, so we've got to demonstrate there will be compliance in that shorter section of restrictions. The initial request from the chamber was for all of High Street, but we'll try the busier section before we consider extension.
Thank you. So the mover and seconder is just be prepared to add in point one, install a trial to our parking restriction for 12 months. One pass route, just to clarify.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. It's just members of the public reading minutes. It should be clear that the staff know it's for 12 months, but like anyone who's not happy with or is happy with the trial will know it's going for 12 months. Also wanted to ask about number five, and I'm assuming, like it doesn't say the extent of the 8 kilometre speed zone on Bendigo Way. I'm assuming that that's Nursery Road area, but it doesn't say that. And what is meant by the last part of that sentence, considering likely compliance? Can I...
Generally, what the police say, if it can't be monitored or regulated, then it's often that they won't change the speed limit. So I'll get the very good news to find that.
They don't apply that to any court speed, do they?
No.
Through that general manager, this happens to be sometimes a request from the access committee to, I suppose, protect people that are using the refuge island there. But given the nature of the road there, the police consider compliance is unlikely and people will still travel at 100 kilometres an hour. But Transport said they were looking into it and see what measures can also be added to reinforce the need for the lower speed limit can be achieved.
Okay, thank you, because I remember raising this myself at the previous meeting. I can't comprehend how they couldn't see it as a serious safety risk, and it should be monitored and people fine.
And it's where
an overtaking lane ends and people have got to merge. It's right where people want to turn into Nursery Road, get in the outside lane and have to turn. And as soon as people see the 100 zone, they put the foot down, and it's where the bicycle path crosses the highway. I mean, it's an accident waiting to happen, in my view. And if it stopped the 80 zone, like 30 or 40 metres short, what's another 30 or 40 metres? So what, they can enforce compliance for the first part and not the last part? Sure. I think Councillor Jeremy might have answered it, and we're probably lucky the tape didn't pick it up. Councillor Jeremy.
The Mayor, through the Acting General Manager to the Acting Director of Engineering, if those giveaway signs, I know they're on Bella Beach Road, Ring Road and Old Coast Road. I mean, to me it's really dangerous changing something and changing it back. Surely it was changed so that it was logical that you follow road rules, I'm surprised actually that Transport for New South Wales are committed to investigate reverting it back. So have you got any commentary around discussion with them, or General Manager was here, that's all.
Thank you, Robert.
With that, General Manager, at a local level, Transport concurred with the police assessment that the previous arrangement didn't comply with Australian and New South Wales road rules, and so they changed it to what they thought complied with the New South Wales road rules, but due to the number of complaints they were getting and the confusion at the intersections, they thought we better look further into this, so they went to a higher state level to the designers, senior designers, and there's a bit of a grey area, but they're going to look into it further because it doesn't comply with another road design standard. It's too close to the intersection. It's all about the angles where you're looking behind, waiting for a car to turn. So they'll look further into it. It will look like egg on their face, but it's got to be safety first, and the police just want to know. Yeah, about compliance. Who's doing the wrong thing so they can enforce compliance? They thought it was a grey area to how it previously was, so they just want to make sure it's clear to all drivers who needs to be by those intersections. So it's it doesn't look good, but the end outcome's got to be right for the community.
Well, that, with the outcome of that, whatever it is, I mean, you might need an education, community education. No, I'm like really confused as to what to do. I mean, I don't use those intersections, just make notes. You know, I wouldn't know whether to stop or not.
And that's what's hence the word in the complaints, and we were quite ready to forward them back onto Transport. That was their decision, so thankfully we didn't have to wear that, but we have to work with them and make sure the outcomes are clear. It's all about the painted island. In some cities you'll see concrete blisters where that road was enforced, but they've just got to make it clear when they do the redesign who has the priority, because it's all over the place at the moment. And this really only came about when it's, as usual, when it's on the ground, then you get the complaints. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. No other discussion? Those in favour? Against? Carried? Page 53, item 4.2. Councillors, I'm going to move this being deferred because there are specific actions with the potential to incur expense included in the minutes that have not been carried forward in the recommendations. That's the motion. Please
second that motion.
Seconded, Councillor Jones. And Councillors, if you've read the minutes for the meeting, included specific actions. The normal practice is that they actually have to become resolutions of council because they're under committee. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Just make sure the minute taken. Sorry. The item 4.2, the report to come back to council capturing specific actions recorded in the minutes, but the traffic just recorded in the minutes. It'll have the hidden traffic committee, so. Got it? Okay, thank you. Okay, councillors, we have no late reports. We do have one item listed to close meeting. Given that we're out in a community hall and the building doesn't meet the requirements to close meeting, I'm going to move that item, I can't remember, sorry. That item 13.1 also be deferred to the next meeting in the council chambers. If I can get a second. Second, Councillor Wilson. And as you notice, it's the written recommendation, it's only to note the information, so it's not a urgent decision being required. Okay, so those in favour? Against? It's carried. And we now won't go to closed meeting, and there being no further business, I'll declare the meeting closed. Thank you all for your attendance, and for those who are left, for your courtesy and your understanding. Thank you.